How many miles per gallon does the White House get? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Top auto industry executives are due at the White House today to talk about fuel economy standards. The EPA and the Department of Transportation are working on 8 options for rolling these back, but the auto industry is not pushing for this as much as the president seems to be for economic reasons. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
The current fuel economy rules call on carmakers to boost average fuel efficiency from 35 miles per gallon to more than 50 by 2025. A required review of the rules in 2016 found the benchmarks were still feasible. Then President Trump was elected. UCLA law professor Ann Carlson says Trump's EPA threw out that study
and issued its own review, saying that, in fact, the standards were not feasible either technologically or economically.
But still, the Trump administration hasn't unveiled a specific counterproposal. Gloria Bergquist is president of the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers.
It's critical that future mileage standards are based on sound data.
So today, automakers will be looking for clarity on the numbers and signals as to how the administration might handle the legal challenge from California and 16 other states fighting to keep the current rule in place. Here's what automakers don't want.
To sell different vehicles in some states than we sell in other states. That is disruptive.
Carmakers also have concerns over Trump's NAFTA proposals on auto production, but today that conversation may have to take a back seat. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
It was always going to be hard disentangling Britain from the rest of the European Union. Well, next month marks 2 years since the British public voted to leave. Today, the cabinet of UK Prime Minister Theresa May is said to be at loggerheads over just what to do. BBC business reporter Jonty Bloom is following this. Good morning.
Hello, David.
All right, so they're still at it, trying to come up with what the UK actually wants out of this. Among the big issues still is if you want to ship a good across a European border, what are the rules, right?
Yeah, because at the moment, frankly, there's very little to stop you moving anything across anywhere in the EU. The borders don't really exist when it comes to shipping goods or people. And when the UK leaves the European Union, that will have to change somehow.
It's also the nettlesome issue of what to do with the border between Ireland and Northern Ireland. But there doesn't seem to be a consensus building in the British cabinet, even nearly 2 years later.
Yes, it is quite amazing. Lots of people are highly critical of the way the government has organized these negotiations, because it said right at the beginning, we will leave the single market and we will leave the customs union. And those are the two parts of the EU that allow seamless movement of people and goods, and we're going to leave that. And then we say, well, we want as smooth and as frictionless a border as possible. You cannot have a frictionless border if you're not part of the European Union. Nobody else does. The two proposals that the cabinet is at the moment discussing, one of which is to continue to collect the tariffs on behalf of the EU and then reimburse British companies if they don't export to the EU, which is extremely complicated and full of red tape and very few people think can work, is one option. And the other is just to have lots of technology, automated number plate recognition, forms filled out on computers in warehouses rather than at the border. But nobody seems to think that that one is really technically possible at the moment either.
Jonty, is there any deadline for this, or can discussions go on forever?
They can't go on forever. We're expecting in the autumn to have agreed this kind of detail and then move on to discussing what will happen after Brexit. The fear for many companies here in the UK is that these talks will just break down because the EU rejects any proposals that the UK government is coming up with, and the UK government is spending months discussing which proposals to put forward. And if you don't get an agreement, you end up with something called hard Brexit. And then we would have to start negotiating from outside for access to the European Union and its markets.
The BBC's Jonty Bloom in London. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
One part of a bipartisan bill in Congress would force the Federal Bureau of Prisons to get people closer to home once they're let out, Marketplace's Renata Sago reports.
The First Step Act would require that federal inmates serve their time in facilities no more than 500 miles away from a primary residence. Mark Maurer heads the D.C.-based research and advocacy group, The Sentencing Project.
It's just unreasonable to expect family members to be able to visit unless they have very substantial personal resources.
He says 500 miles is still far, but that this provision could increase family visits, which would mean stronger family bonds. That's been proven to reduce recidivism. Reshuffling inmates around, though, would be a management challenge for the already understaffed, underfunded Federal Bureau of Prisons. That's according to Enamai Chetiar with New York University.
There isn't the appropriate funding for the bill to achieve its stated goals.
More than 70 civil rights groups oppose the bill. They say it misses the mark in significantly advancing criminal justice reform, particularly around sentencing. Advocates say the First Step Act is meant to be just that, a first step. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
And a New York artist had a sweet deal, $1,500 a month for a rent-stabilized big apartment in a cool Manhattan neighborhood, Tribeca, which she was renting out on Airbnb, reportedly bringing in $4,500 a month. Well, a judge has now fined Eileen Hickey a record $185,000 and ordered her eviction. Hickey is 72 and has lived there for more than 40 years. The landlord's attention was drawn to the situation when an Airbnb renter hung a banner off the balcony advertising the party within. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.